Greetings, 7 Second Delay fans. Tonight, a recently unearthed encore edition of 7 Second Delay, this one from December 9th, 1998, entitled The Dead Air Chicken Episode, although I don't recall this being the original Dead Air Chicken episode, but who knows? I have not even listened to it. Thanks to listener Joe Chris Morris for sending this one in. The fidelity is a little bit off. It was taped off the air over an old technology known as FM radio back in 1998. In case you missed last week's announcement, the February 20th Adults Only show of 7 Second Delay at Monty Hall has been canceled. Andy felt that learning how to operate a stripper pole was outside his comfort zone. So go figure. So tonight, here now, the first time ever rerun, the Dead Air Chicken episode from December 9th, 1998.
We're not really on the air right now.
Now, was I on the air during your show earlier today?
You were.
Did I know I was on the air?
I told you you were on the air.
Yeah, but you said it in such a casual, flippant, nonchalant way. You knew I wouldn't believe you.
You mean kind of like this. By the way, you're on the air.
Yeah, by the way, you're on the air. So, yeah, exactly.
That's a casual flippant.
No, it was not by the way. It was by the way, you're on the air. And then there was kind of a chuckle like I just tried to make a joke.
No, I said, if you listen to the tape, as I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah. Well, my lawyers have it now, but I'll get to hear it.
When they give it back to you.
Yeah.
Listen, and you'll see that I didn't start laughing until you started laughing.
Well, maybe we should tell people what we're talking about. It turns out, who knew you have a show on Wednesday morning? Who knew that?
I didn't know.
How's anyone supposed to know these things? And I did call you during the show, and you, instead of saying, can you call back, or it's not a good time, you just put me on the air without telling me.
Well, yeah.
And then we discussed today's show, and the world could hear you shoot down 4 or 5 perfectly fine ideas. Was I a mensch? Was I a gentleman? Absolutely. Thank God.
Yeah, you were. People emailed me and said, he's just as bad as on the air.
No,
and I emailed him back and said, what are you talking about? He was a sweetheart. Now, you behaved yourself fine, not knowing that you know, all 5 or 6 of our listeners were listening to you.
So you must have real mixed feelings when people make Linda Tripp jokes. Because you must feel sort of a kindred spirit.
It burns me up when people make fun of Linda Tripp.
Exactly. All she did was record a friend without telling that friend. That's all she did.
Well, she did a little more than that.
She didn't broadcast anything.
No.
She has a ways to go before she enters your realm of evil.
Hey, okay. You paged me while I was on mic.
I had no way to know you were on the air. There's no possible way a person could know. The only way I could know if you had a show on Wednesdays, if I either listened to the station or read that little schedule thing that you hand out at staff meetings.
Yeah.
What are the odds of either of those things happening? Okay. So what do we do?
Well, I'm not apologizing. Linda always told me, don't apologize.
Okay. Apology accepted. Now, I know in your heart you're sorry. Apology is accepted. Now, where did we end up? Oh, we do our benediction. May this show succeed while the shows of my little buddies fail. Yet may I always be thought of as a teen player.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, there's only 4 shopping days left till Hanukkah.
Only 4?
I think it's this Sunday. Christians get another week and a half. Talk about anti-Semitism. Right there. There it is, right there, buddy.
Oh, good Christians get an extension.
Do they?
Yeah, really good Christians.
They have another, like, 3 weeks?
No, not 3 weeks, but they get an extra 4 or 5 days.
Oh, they get till the end of the month.
Yeah.
And also, we Jews have to use the lunar calendar based on the moon. Christians, the sun. Now, come on. Come on, you're not telling me there's some anti-Semitism going on? Come on.
Jews don't use the
lunar. It is instant. Yeah, they do.
The lunar calendar?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why our holidays are always falling right before big tests at school.
Hmm.
So anyway, I have to do some shopping, and I thought as long as I have nothing else to do during this hour.
You mean because I shot down all the ideas?
Yeah. Oh, my good idea. Yeah, and why did you shoot down the ideas? Because so many of them could involve Ken being criticized on the air. Oh, no. Can't have that. Can't expose ourselves to that. Mustn't risk that. Embarrassing Andy. Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with those ideas. But anything from the... Ken might be subject to a little criticism. No, can I talk about some ideas you shot down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I had this
idea. We talked about them earlier.
I had this idea. That's right. It was called Dead Air Chicken Championship. And because all our fans love when we play Dead Air Chicken. It's a beloved segment of our show.
Except for those who tune in during Dead Air Chicken.
Yeah, well, they might love it too. But Dead Air Chicken is when Ken and I see who can go the longest without talking.
It's a fantastic radio concept. Just imagine if they did that on TV.
Oh, Dead Air Chicken. I think Dan Rather did play Dead Air Chicken once at CBS. Remember that? When he walked off the set?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was in protest. So, but we've brought that concept to radio. And my idea was you and I would play Dead Air Chicken, but we would put calls on the air, and the listeners would be invited to try to bait us, to goad us into talking.
Mm-hmm.
A fantastic concept. But you were afraid that some ex-friends, current friends, ex-employees, current employees would call and, not bait even. You too severely.
I've just got a lot to be baited on. I've been station manager for a long time. I've made a lot of enemies.
And so you might lose Dead Air Chicken. That ultimately, that's what you're afraid of.
I don't care about losing Dead Air Chicken.
Well, if somebody's baiting you and you have to respond or cut them off, then you would lose the Dead Air Chicken.
I couldn't care less about losing.
Well, then let's play. Then let's play.
No,
I'm throwing down my gauntlet. By the way, don't touch that gauntlet. It's been in my family for years. Let's play.
No, I'm not going to play that version of Dead Air Chicken. I'll play straight Dead Air Chicken anytime.
Where we don't take calls?
Yeah.
Oh. That's not as much fun.
I'm just a sitting duck during your little game of Dead Air Chicken. You, what are people going to bait you about? Sergeant Bilko, you know, big deal.
No,
you know?
No. If I was sensitive, if I was overly sensitive, that would bother me. Your skin is too thin. What can they say about you? Tell me one thing, one subject matter. Like some schedule change you made?
Yeah.
And why would that upset you?
People blame everything on
me. But why does it upset you? Why can't you just let it roll off your skin? All right. I'm sorry. even this.
People who even like go off the schedule voluntarily.
Blame
like
you.
DJs, no, their fans blame me.
So
you're just asking me to sit there on mic, I mean, without saying anything, while listeners just call up and berate me.
Or you could lose. You could respond to them and then lose Dead Air Chicken. But that upsets you, too. You're just so competitive. Okay. I forget even how we got onto this. Oh, okay. So when our listeners have to suffer through the next 45 minutes of this really pathetic show, they should keep in mind that I had a good idea. Oh. Anyway, if you love to hear us play Dead Air Chicken, you should buy our new CD, which we'll be putting out next year, of the best of our Dead Air Chicken contest. That would be a great CD, wouldn't it? Just you and I, just every 3 minutes, you just hear one of us yell, Dead Air Chicken. And the rest would be silent. That would be funny.
That
would
be better than our other CD.
Yeah, <it would.
laughs> Probably
it
sell
would.
Better.
Finally, we're giving people what they want. You and me, not talking. Our listeners have made it clear in all the polls we take, what they want from our show is less talk and less music. And that means
what
Dead Air Chicken.
Mean?
Less talk, less music. That's our little motto. So I'm going to buy some gifts for the kids and for my wife, Mary. Now, I know you do this too. I'm sure everyone does. I've decided, Mary, you know, Mary has been a great wife this year. So I'm going to be spending more than the normal $60. It's like tipping, like you tip a waitress for extra good service. Mary's been a fantastic wife. Service has been excellent all year. So I'm going to spend up to $65, maybe $70. Normally you give your, you buy your wife, you spend $60 on your wife, right? That's the default figure.
I spend more than that myself.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, it's, my default figure is $60, but she's been so fantastic, I'm going to go up to $70. She's been an excellent wife. And this system is a great system because it's an incentive for Mary. To provide extra service during the year.
Is this a percentage of something? Are you giving her like 15 or 20% something?
Look, $60 is our default figure. Uh-huh. And we adjust it for inflation every few years. I'm not like a monster. And but she's gotten the extra, you know, extra yard this year. She's put in 110%.
So you're going to give her an extra $10.
Yeah. I love my wife. So if anyone has any $70 gift ideas.
See, most people in your position, they might buy their wives a new car.
Ah! No, that's not true. No, that is not true. I'll tell you what Mary
likes. They might take them out to a nice restaurant.
Take them on. Well, that could cost like $80, $90. Oh.
Could cost a lot more than that.
Oh. You mean a nice restaurant that doesn't have pictures of the food on the menu? That kind of nice restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what to get Mary. I really don't know what to get her.
A nice restaurant where, you know, the waiters and waitresses sing songs.
Oh, yeah. When it's your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice.
A really nice restaurant.
Those are really nice. You know what I do? Every restaurant I go to, I tell the waiter, it's my birthday. I get the song all the time. I love that song. I love the attention. And, okay. So I got to buy a gift for me. This is bad. And then at the end of the show, I have some catalogs with me. I'll just call, and you'll actually hear me place an order. Is that entertaining? It's no dead air chicken, but we can't do dead air chicken.
Oh yeah, it has talking.
Yeah,
talking. I know you prefer ideas that have no talking and no music.
Dead air chicken would be so funny.
We are not doing dead air chicken. We're just not doing it, okay?
Okay. Well, that would be good. Let's just sit for a minute.
We've done dead air chicken.
No, but we've never done the real professional championship dead air chicken where you could put calls on the air to bait us. Let's just sit for like just 10 seconds and imagine how great that show would be.
Okay, you want to do dead air chicken?
Yeah.
We'll do dead air chicken.
Okay, here are the rules.
We'll do once each.
What do you mean once each?
Once they berate you and once they berate
me. No. Dead air chicken, it could go for a half hour. What do you mean once each? Here's how dead air chicken works. I'll tell you the rules of dead air chicken.
And we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, okay. What's the phone number?
But we're only doing it twice.
We'll do it once.
Okay, we'll do it once.
Okay, what's the phone number? It's 201 something.
I'm not going to tell you.
It's 201-200-WFMU. And here's how it works. Dan,
God, you remembered the phone number.
Sure.
That's amazing.
I've been cramming all week for this. Okay, here's how it works. Dan, phone slave, the Egyptian phone boy, will put on one call where the caller will try to bait me. And that call must stay on the air for a minute. He can hang up, but we cannot hang up on him before 1 minute is up. And at 1 minute, we disconnect, and the next caller will try to bait you for 1 minute. You can hang up on him, Ken. If you hang up on him, I win. And then we'll alternate. The third caller will try to bait me. The fourth caller will try to bait you. And we will see which of us speaks first. Those are the ground rules, okay?
All right.
You can't turn my mic off or your mic off.
Okay, here's your fantastic idea, and the calls are just pouring in.
Okay, so we need some callers to try to bait me or Ken. Look, people that work for you, they're scared of you. You don't know how scared people are. Even ex-employees, even the listeners are scared of you. You're safe. You will not be touched. We're at 201-200 WFMU, and we're going to play a championship round of Dead Air Chicken. Okay, the first call, Dan, the first call is someone that is has said they're going to try to bait Andy.
There are no calls.
And as soon as that call goes on, Ken will start a clock, At 1 minute, we will disconnect that call. Okay. Should we just begin, even without the calls?
There are no calls.
201-200-WFMU. Write it down, because we're not going to say it again.
Now, you know what the problem is?
What?
Our foreplay is too amusing this week.
They don't want us to shut up.
Technically, we're still in the foreplay section of the show.
Yeah.
Never call during the foreplay. They love the foreplay.
They gather around. I know college kids just gather in the dorms, gather around the little radios. All right, I'm going to give the number one more time, and then we're going to begin, whether there's a call or not. 201-200-WFMU. Do you think Dan understands that we're going to alternate calls? One call baiting me, one call baiting you?
Yeah, I think he's got that. Yeah, we have a... You just start any old time.
Okay, Dead Air Chicken begins. First one that talks is a loser.
It is enlarged, not that instead of having that output.
Okay, that was a minute.
No!
Yes, sir.
I win!
What do you mean
it's
you win?
It could go on for an hour. We alternate calls.
We had a call, and the caller didn't say a word.
Well, that's his option.
Is it your sophisticated sense of humor that you think silence is uproariously funny?
He exercised his option not to talk.
Egad.
It's supposed to go 1 minute me and 1 minute you, 1 minute me, 1 minute you, and go on for an hour.
Oh, I see. I see. And now I understand. Okay. Oh, God.
You thought it was a 1 minute game at most?
I thought I was supposed to hang up on the caller after a minute.
Yeah, you do. And then you take the next caller.
Oh, I see.
Is there another one?
Yeah, there's another one.
Okay, we're going to play
How long are we going to do this for? This is going to be, the whole show is going to be silence.
It's good. No, the calls will be baiting us. Not every call will be that idiotic. Okay, I won that one. 1-0. Here we go. Dead Air Chicken, round two.
Yes. Love your show. Oh, this is for Kent. Listener Scott here. There's been a little bit of a delay in the shipment of the items during the pledge. And we've all our pledgers have spent our hard-earned money and finally got our items back in November, March to November, and then also received slips saying that the items are back-ordered. This is insane. I just don't understand it. I realize you guys have worked hard and you've migrated to your new radio station, but this is appalling. I mean, it's definitely going to deter people from definitely pledging next time.
Just
No more calls. I don't lose that round. No, I don't lose.
It's supposed to go on for an hour.
But there's no more calls.
Well, then we sit quietly till they call.
God.
Okay, let's go shopping.
So that was your fantastic radio concept that I shot down because I was too scared. Because I was scared what would happen to me. Not because it was just a bad idea, because I was scared that people might call up and complain that they hadn't gotten their marathon stuff. Because I'm too thin-skinned.
Yes, exactly. That is my opinion.
Not because I might turn into an hour of dead air.
Okay, then we'll go shopping. I think by the end of our half-hour shopping spree, you will look back wistfully at our game of dead air chicken. I think you may agree that was the high point of our hour. Then we go shopping. Okay, so I have...
Want to play again?
Yeah. Yes. I'll play anytime, anywhere. Okay, the next one is try to bait me. But you have to keep going. The first one that talks loses. It is now 2-0, me over you. I have won 2 games. Just keep alternating until one of us talks. We are at 201-200 WFMU.
There's 4 calls on the line right now.
Dead air chicken.
But I'm only going to play to the end of those 4
Why?
Calls. Because otherwise it's going to be 35 minutes of dead air.
No, it won't. They're talking. Okay,
they're hardly even talking.
If you talk at the end of the 4 minutes, it will be 3-0.
The reason why they're not talking is because...
You can't win dead air chicken. You can't win.
I don't care about dead air chicken.
You can't win.
I care about there being some content to the program.
I care about winning dead air chicken.
They don't even know that they're on the air. That's why they're not saying anything. They don't. They have no idea that they need to be told, or they need some kind of signal.
Well, we'll tap the mic.
Okay, that will be the signal that they're on the air.
Yeah. All right. Okay. First one to talk, even after those 4 minutes. 3-0. 3-0. You'll be the...
No, it's 2-0.
Yeah, right now, but it will be at the end of these 4 minutes. You'll be the 0-3 kid. That's what they'll call you around the schoolyard. Hey, here comes 0-3. Who wants to play? Who wants 0-3 on their team? Not me. I had 0-3 on my team last week. That'll be your nickname. Dead air chicken. Anytime. Go!
Hi, Andy. Listener Paris here, and I realize that you're doing the screenwriting, and I'm glad to hear about your new project, I Know What You Did Last Summer in Space, Part 2. And, you know, it was ripping what you did, man, with the Sergeant Bilko, and I got it through the grapevine that there's going to be another script in there for you to write. So I wish you good luck on those 2 projects, and I realize you'll be doing an off Broadway screenplay, and this will undoubtedly bring you to the new heights that you deserve. Let's see. Well, and your timing for wit and humor, I mean, just Sergeant Bilko, that is genius. And I know you will bring it home.
Well, I'll tell you some silly then English. Can I go say that? Can I go say that? Well, hello.
Well, hello.
My name is Chloe.
My name is Chloe.
I'm making a picture. And I love my picture.
And I love my picture.
It can't talk.
What?
It can't
talk. Hey, talk.
Hey, talk. Am I there? Yes. Am I hear myself? Am I feeding back?
Hello. Am I there?
Yes. So, Ken, Andy thinks you're untouchable, so I guess we'll try to bait Ken here. First thing, Ken, you call yourself a station manager. The first thing, if you were a proper station manager, you would do is you would cancel this show. The show is obviously a failure. On that, I have to agree with Andy. The show is a total failure, and you should simply remove it from the air to show what a dedicated and responsible station manager you truly are. Secondly, I've heard it on good authority that you have no soul. I believe Irwin stated that very clearly on a show last week, perhaps 2 weeks ago. I think he believed the only bad part of not having a soul is that you have nothing to sell to Satan. And I don't know if that's truly true or not. I always thought you were a man of God, but I guess a man of God would not be seen, have been seen dancing naked on the roof of the house in East Orange. Okay, I'm on the air. I guess I'm doing Andy here. Andy, you know, you didn't show up at the record show. You know, at least Ken is cool enough to be at the WFMU record show. I mean, obviously he's the program director, so a station manager, so he should be there. But, you know, you're not even cool enough to show up and hang with those small peons. You know what I mean? And he was also very nice enough to autograph my CD for me, you know, the CD that you're on as well, you see. But you're not nice enough, you know, which I bought with my own hard-earned money. But you see, you're not cool enough and you're not nice enough to even be there so you can autograph the thing for me. But Ken is there doing it. Why can't you? I feel bad now. My CD only has one autograph on it. It doesn't have yours on it. I feel very badly about this. See, but at least Ken knows the kind of guy, he's the stand-up kind of guy who will autograph something for a little guy like me when I come up and ask him for it. But you're up there in your ivory tower right in the next Sergeant Bilko, Sergeant Bilko Poo.
I'd like to correct something a caller, I think two callers ago, said. He said that Irwin said that Ken had no soul. No, what Irwin said was that Irwin was an a-hole.
Hello? Hello, is this the suicide hotline? I need somebody to talk to. I feel like nobody ever listens to me. I never get a response to anything. Is there anybody there? It's really important I talk to somebody. So I'm going to step off the bridge here. No matter how good the reception is on this cell phone, I'm just going to walk off. My last words will be heard by nobody. Is anybody there?
Hello, Ken. Ken, this is Larry, and I just have to tell you I'm tired of you making fun of me. I send you a nice email, tell you you play nice rock music, and you just can't leave it at that. You've got to bug me and make me feel like a fool. I don't think I'm going to be sending you any more emails, Ken. I'm going to be sending you some letter bombs from now on. So I appreciate it if you just watch your mail and open it blindly. Thank you.
Hi, this is Listener Flex. Ken, how you doing? You know, I know how it drives you nuts when you don't turn off the radio in the background. I'm just going to count down from 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. One.
HD Mount Hope. So let's see. Let me see if I can provoke someone into speaking. You know, this air chicken idea is so stupid. I mean, whoever thought of this has got to be a complete idiot. Complete moron, unless he has some rationale. Perhaps he'd like to speak up and defend himself? No? Chicken. Come on. I know you're there. I know you can hear me. You want a piece of this, huh, man? Well, I guess I failed miserably. Bye.
Value of your car. You might find that you save more money in taxes by donating your car than you can make by trying to sell it yourself. And best of all, it's hassle-free. Please help them by calling 1-800-288-7799. Other donations are also 288-7799. Take this opportunity to help others and possibly save money on your taxes. Just call 800-288-7799 24 hours a day.
On me. You know I'm getting implants. So look, why don't you stop just being so quiet on the phone here and talk to me, you little bitch. I'm getting really mad. I don't want to be treated like this. This isn't fair. When I see you next time, I'm going to scratch your little eyes out. You know that? And you don't think you're the biggest piece of trash on the block? You are, honey. You are. Let me tell you something. I miss you, baby.
And
let's put ourselves in delay. And let's call in breakfast, shall we?
To that idea that you mentioned.
I understand.
Because it's just an open invitation for people to dump on me.
I understand. Okay, I actually had some thoughts later. Well, one thing we could do, we still have one line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, one thing we could, I don't have any Christmas or it's Hanukkah week.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of any.
Is tonight the first night of Hanukkah?
No, this weekend is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess next week is technically Hanukkah. Well, next weekend we can, I think we did this, didn't we? You know, we're going to be on the air during sundown when kids are, in theory, kids are opening toys.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever do this where we'd like to broadcast your Hanukkah live just to get the delight of a surprise kid?
Capture the delight?
Well, to capture the spontaneous live.
I think we captured delight once.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right.
That was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, we should have taped that show. Well, one idea I had was, I think you kind of liked it. It was, we'll check up on, Jesus, we'll check up on your latchkey kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're working. And we couldn't do it last week because it was a holiday or something, or Thanksgiving we couldn't do it because it was a holiday.
I don't know if we'll find anybody who has a latchkey kid at home.
You don't?
No.
Like if you're running late, I mean, we'll check up on...
They have to be a really awful parent to not even be home by like 6:30.
Yeah.
I mean, even latchkey kids, you know, the parents often
that's
get
true.
Home by like 5 or 6.
No, that's true. Check up on your health.
I think it would just be really hard to find a parent who's going to call in and tell us about their latchkey kid who happens to be home from 6:30 to 7, you know.
Well, I guess we're looking for a parent who's running late and their kids are home alone. I mean, we won't be looking for, toddlers home alone, probably, but...
I think that's going to be really hard to find.
Yeah.
Right. People who fit that category.
I think you're right. Well, this other idea I had, Liz, okay, well, actually it was shortly, but it was, I don't know how to do it, but we're looking for either Andy's fantasy call or your fantasy call. I don't know what my fantasy call
is. I don't know what mine would be either.
Well, my
fantasy call would be somebody who had like 52 great ideas for 7 seconds away.
Wait, that's mine. That's mine too. So my fantasy call.
Well, hang on a second. I have to cue something up here. Gotta get the next song on. You're on the air, by the way.
I am.
Yeah.
This would be a funny call.
Yeah.
We should tape these calls.
I know, I keep meaning to tape these calls.
That's all you have to do for our show.
I know, I could get a whole show out of it. Like every month I'd have a whole show.
I know.
Okay, what's next?
Although, you'd probably be more embarrassed than me by these calls, because a lot of your concerns is the listeners would roast me alive. Well, I don't know what my fantasy call is either, except it would be... how much they love the show, and I don't know. Well, a another thing is, I wish if we had more lines, we could try to build up an Algonquin round table with our four wittiest listeners and just have really, really very witty sort of exchanges.
An Algonquin round table, so that's not a bad idea.
I know, but we need more lines. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
That's right. Someday we'll have more lines.
Someday we will. Okay, let me just see.
Put that one down.
I do.
It would just be fun, like, screening people for wit.
Yeah, just the audition. And you know we'd end up with, you know, Jesus and Arnott.
You know what listener Bill just told me?
What?
That Dorothy, speaking of the Algonquin Roundtable,
yeah.
One of the last things Dorothy Parker did was she wrote the liner notes for a Zero Mostel LP.
Is that true?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
It is. You mean, and she took credit, like her name?
Yeah, she wrote the liner notes for Zero Mostel.
They might have, like, been friends around the village. She was in New York, I think. So, I think she was back in New York. She went to Hollywood. How about five perfect zingers? Like, just trying to... Well, that couldn't be... I guess that's not a topic, but, like, I just hope during the show to have five great zingers. Like, Dead Air Championship, that's it.
Hmm.
How about this? We come up with a topic.
Uh-huh.
Like, how did you meet your husband or boyfriend? Or, you know, cute meets. It's something we've never done. Everyone likes to tell how they met.
Yeah,
right?
You've got a great story.
We have a nice one, but everyone sort of does have a nice one. You know, every couple that's been together. And then, what if the rule is that you stay on the air if you call for exactly 1 minute? No less, but no more. So if your story's finished, like if your story's finished in 20 seconds, you have to fill the rest of the time somehow.
So every call is 60 seconds exactly.
Exactly.
What's the point of that?
Just for the symmetry of it. Hey, what's that? Well, that's pretty good.
What's what?
The booing.
Oh, yeah, the booing.
What's what? Where'd you get that?
Electra Sound Effects Volume 4.
Oh, you don't like that idea? Wait, the 1 minute idea? Wait.
I don't know. I mean,
how about this? Everyone that calls has to commit to staying on the air for 3 minutes. No more, no less. Because it's great because most people's stories are finished in 1 minute.
So you just want people to hang on the line. You just want them to flap it.
Yeah. Although there will be people whose stories will be 4 minutes long and we'll just have to cut them off. We just try to institute a new policy.
So people call up and they tell their little story and then they have to just kill time. I mean, what they're going to do is they're just going to drag it out. They're just going to, like,
do exactly 3 minutes.
So the idea is to, like, get people to call up and teleport.
It's actually the worst. It's like a bad producer came in and had this idea. When I was at Saturday Night Live once, there was 1 year where Dick Ebersole was producing, and there was 1 year where he said every sketch should be 4 minutes long. And, like, some sketches should end at 3 minutes, and some sketches you can go 5 minutes. It was just insane. It made every sketch horrible. Either too long or too...
They tried to follow that?
Well, they tried for 1 week. I mean, he was not a writer. Dick Ebersole's like a sports guy that came in and produced the show. And that was like his rule. It's like an idiot producer rule. So we could do the equivalent.
So it ruined that episode of Saturday Night Live.
Well, yeah, but I mean, every episode was ruined for some reason, but that was... But we should institute a rule like that. Maybe 2.5 minutes. Like, the perfect call is 2.5 minutes long.
Hmm.
It should be the length, enough time that they'd have to fill some time, right?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like an exercise in futility.
It does?
Yeah, it just seems like you're telling people to be boring. Like,
well, no. Like,
drag
people,
it out.
When people call, we would have, like, a little foreplay with people, like, to ask them the name of something. You can remind us, hey, Andy, you know, there's only, a minute 30 left. She hasn't even begun her story.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think that'll work. You know what, though?
What?
I really got to finish my program.
All right, I'll call you. I have to talk to you after 1 because I have a conference call from 12 to 1.
Okay.
I'll talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. I told him he was on the air. He just didn't believe me.
Hold on. Andy, this is your daughter, and I just wanted to know if everyone knew about me and Mommy. Does everyone know about your other family, the family that you don't support, that you've just forgotten about? You know, Mommy wants to sue you for lots of money, and I told her not to, and I started defending you. And then I started realizing that you are a terrible father, and that she should sue you, and she's going to take all of your money and everything, and you're just going to be a bum on the street. And that's just going to be too bad, because maybe if you had thought about me, and if you had remembered your sweet little daughter, maybe things would be different. But now they're not going to be. You're going to be a poor bum, and you're going to beg, and people are going to laugh at you. Ha, ha, ha. It's going to be really funny, because you forgot about me. I used to be your little angel, but now you've got other little angels and a new wife, and I bet they don't even know about your past life. I bet they don't even know about it, do they? Do they? I bet they don't, because you've just forgotten about us. We're just in your memory. We're just a long time ago. We were what used to be. I'm just...
This is about the slang show you had a couple months ago, and it's kind of directed towards Andy, which ironically most of the calls were, you were concerned about Ken, but it turns out most of the complaints are about Andy. But he said that fat meant like cool or something. So the next day I was outside, I was saying to my neighbor, he's like, "Man, you're fat," I said, and he's like, spiced me right in the face. He punched me right in the face. And then I was like, "Man, what is this all about?" So I tracked down Andy's dad in New Jersey, and I see these kids following him down the street, and they're like, "Yo, fat man, fat man." And it's like, oh, they meant fat, you know? They meant obese. And then I was like, what is he going to try to pass off next time, that, like, bald means, like, you know, suave or something like that? And, you know, then you're fat. That's what I'm saying. You're fat and bald. And I...
Yeah, hello. Hello. Yeah, I'm calling the bait Ken. I think the guy left off an important message about the marathon pledges. Not only do you not get them 8 months later, but then I get this stinking note in the mail asking me to send back money for postage. I should have just sent you the keys to my apartment. You come here, take what you want. It's what you guys seem to do anyway. Then I come down to the marathon. I figure you guys are panhandling for money. And this, my little daughter goes to spin this broken wheel of tchotchkes, and she gets a box of tampons. So now she keeps saying, where's Santa bringing my tampons? When's Santa bringing my tampons? How do you explain that to a 10-year-old? You guys are corrupting the youth of all of our kids. And then you're still asking for postage.
Okay. Now this is baiting Andy, but this is going to test Ken's ability to be the station manager, because what I'm going to begin to do is use all of the words that you cannot use on the air, starting with S.
Ken, I have to say this has been the funniest 7-second delay show that I've ever heard. I've been laughing out loud. I've had a great time, and I think that just shows how great Andy is, and that maybe he should become the station manager, or at the very least you should give him a lot more consideration for his ideas, which he obviously has tapped into what, you know, we the listener are interested in. So I don't know if I can keep this up for a minute, so I'll probably hang up now.
This is Dan, the phone screener. It was a tie. Neither of them wants to talk, not even at the end of the show. Anyway, you're listening to WFMU East Orange and WXHD Mount Hope.
Hello. Hey, how do we know Yuga Barnes are even sitting there? I mean, every once in a while we hear a little snicker, but how do we know that's you guys? Can do better than this. I know you can. We hear you here every week. He tapes them every week. We know what you guys are doing. We know what you can do. What is this? Come on, Andy. Andy, I hear you laughing. You're just on the brink. I know. You want to laugh. Maybe not at this girl, but you want to laugh. Come on. Andy.
That was the Dead Air Chicken episode from December 9th, 1998. Thank you, Joe Chris Morris, for sending in a tape of that broadcast. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned next for YOY with Andrea.
Try a sing-along?
Yep. I'm doing okay. I had a good day. I'm doing okay. I had a good day. I gotta say, I had a real good day. I didn't throw up. I didn't throw up. About a quarter to four, I almost threw up. But I didn't throw up. I had a real good day. I'll wait till I tell you about what happened to me. I was on my way to work today. I was getting on the subway and suddenly everybody didn't throw up. My brother didn't die. My mother didn't die. Come on. My father didn't die. My sister didn't die. Mr. Greenblatt died. I had a real good day. I didn't get hit by a bus today. It was coming down the street. I was more than a mile away, eating lunch in the park. Hey, 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 come on. I'm doing okay. Hey, 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 big man. I had a good day. I didn't throw up. I had a real good day.
Song I wrote.
My heart is beating, beating like 8 o'clock. My heart is beating, so you can hear it talk. Beep beep, beep beep. My heart goes beep beep beep, beep beep, beep beep. My heart goes beep beep beep, so you answer my.
Beep, beep.
is YOY. I'm Andrea Salenzi. Today on the show, a conversation with Bajoli Shaw about Valentine's Day gift buying.
You can get really good jewelry, like really good jewelry, for $400, which just says to me that if you're willing to buy an iPad or a Surface Pro or someone a TV for the same price point, you know, if you're willing to throw down on vacation even, then you have the means to, you know, buy the earrings or the necklace, and you're just choosing not to, and that part sort of stuck out to me.
But first, I want to check in with you. I've been doing this show for over a year now, and around this time of year, last Valentine's Day, I met a guy. It was related to the public radio show Planet Money invited me on their program to talk with an economist for dating advice, and that's when I went on my first date, recorded on Skype, with my now boyfriend, Mike. Let's listen, just to feel all sentimental.
Hey.
Hi. Oh.
Hold on a second.
This is so weird.
Yeah, hey, it's your idea.
No, it's an economist's idea, but it was my idea to take dating advice from an economist. So yeah. I kind of screwed this up for us both.
Hold on, it's been a while since I've used Skype. I'm trying to, like, get it all set up here. All
yeah.
Right. So, what's up?
Aw. Now, some of you guys have been telling me that I've changed. Since I got a boyfriend, the show is not as good as it used to be. Well, there are a couple things that I can kind of attribute that to. One is I got a new job around the same time that I got this boyfriend, and with that new job has come a lot less time. It's a really demanding job. And it was a pretty big change for me. So I'm happy I've been able to keep YOY going, but it's definitely different. Another thing is that I haven't wanted to talk that much about my relationship with him. And there isn't that much to talk about. And when I was single, I loved talking about that because it made the whole time feel less lonely for me. But now that Mike's in my life, I also want to respect his privacy. But with this encouragement tonight, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and share a story about our time together. And again, this is an experiment. It might not be as much fun for you as hearing me do an interview. It'll definitely be more fun than hearing me talk to Randy. So let's give it a try. Here's a story I've alluded to a bit on the show. It took place on one of the coldest nights of the year, just about a month ago. I'm sitting in a trendy ramen restaurant, hot and cold all at once. I want to look pretty in my dress, so my coat's pulled down into a C shape around my waist. This way, he can see my shoulders. The outside door and the outside door keep opening and closing as the couples stream in from neighboring movie theaters and bars. While Mike's looking down at his menu, I use the napkin under my beer to secretly blow my nose, cram it in my pocket. I can barely focus on the menu with the crowd forming around the door in puffy coats, pink cheeks. He notices me glaring. Be present. Time with him. You wait for this all week. I reach under the table and grab his warm knee with my hand. I think my favorite part of the movie was when the Keira Knightley character made that impassioned speech about, "Let me do my job, men. Gives me purpose as a woman." Mike picks up his drink. Huh. I thought you'd like the part where he named his computer after his first love and cried, staring at it from the doorway. I related to that part, actually. I know what it's like to care for something cold and unfeeling. I give him a look. Mike knows I'm teasing him. It's like a fugue for us, always repeating the narrative that we are the coldest hearts to ever find each other. Sentiment, unless in the form of Drake or Destroyer, is uncomfortable for us. We must mock its every trace. We order our ramen. Our waiter is a nice white guy with a bun who reads all the specials. I hate the face I make while he reads the specials. It makes me want to leave my body. We know we are the Brooklynites. The reason why they put pork belly kale salad rolls on the menu. And that's also the reason why we are not ordering them. I think about mentioning the door chaos to the waiter, but think better of it. The cold stream of air will be good for me. It'll stop my face from turning too pink as I slurp the soup. Without assigning blame, we decide that seeing The Imitation Game that night had been a mistake. Cliché, repetitive movie. We've been making fun of it since the credits began rolling. In the theater, Mike could tap my shoulder to whisper something. I'd wrap my hand around his thigh, expecting to hear him say, "I could barely focus on the movie with your legs crossed in those tights." Instead, he repeated the looping catchphrase from the movie. "Sometimes it's the people no one imagines anything of who do the things no one can imagine." I snort loudly and lock eyes with the elderly gay couple in the row behind us. Arms locked, wiping away tears. Alan Turing was chemically castrated for being gay, and the credits scroll so numbers explain how common it was for gay men and women to be sent to jail, experimental medical treatments, killed. I feel like a bully, smile politely, and we rush out of the theater. Outside, while our faces burned with the cold, we pan the movie loudly. We are a cliche of a dinner in the movie couple, but every time I forget about that, I am able to have fun. When the ramen comes, it covers my face with warm steam. I sniffle, complain about my cold, my itchy eyes, talk about myself without remembering to ask Mike questions. "What's on YOY this week?" he asks. He's the only person who ever asked me this. "Randy and Sandy are coming over for dinner." "At my grandma's?" "What?" he shakes his head. We laugh about the chaos I'm creating. "What will you all talk about?" "I want them to do this quiz I saw in the New York Times together. My listeners keep emailing it to me." Mike asks, "The one that promises to make two strangers fall in love?" "Yeah." I look down at my bowl, swirl my chopsticks. Casual. "Did you read it?" The column discusses a scientific-ish method. 37 questions plus 4 minutes of eye contact said to make any two people fall in love. Mike and I have been dating for almost a year now. We've never used the word love. When I got my new job, he gave me flowers and a card saying he's happy for me. He signed it 321 Mike. For Christmas, he gave me another card, wishing me luck visiting my family, promising lots of sex when I return, signed with a box around his name, Mike. I threw it down on the carpet, pretended it didn't bother me, and then used it for weeks as a bookmark so I could reread it for clues every time I wondered about us. Maybe he's waiting to be sure. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's still making up his mind about me. In a half second, I remember everything I could change about myself. "Would you ever do it?" he asked.